hear from you, do you wish to reserve any of your 15 minutes for rebuttal?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
May it please the court. Again, my name is Christopher Graham, and I am the counsel for Daniel Essenmacher. He is the father of the two children here. I'm just going to use their initials. There would be A, and then her last name is hyphenated, A hyphen E, and then her younger sister, LR, A hyphen E. The basis of the appeal, there are two issues here. One is whether or not the trial court abused its discretion and committed reversible error in changing the foster care goal from return home to adoption. And in support of the fact that we believe the court abused its discretion is that Mr. Essenmacher had substantially remedied his substance abuse issues, mental health issues, and he had employment and stable housing, and would contend that it was under those circumstances that the court should have given him the extra 6 months to completely remedy the circumstances that brought the children into foster care. He had although he had moved back to Michigan, he did have a stable home. He had therapists who were testifying that he had handled his substance abuse issues and had gotten his hands around the mental health issues. He had stable housing and stable employment.
Mr. Graham, this is Judge Austin. And these cases that we have in termination cases are always very serious cases. And obviously the trial judge went through the information that was presented. And obviously our standard of review is different from the trial court's evaluation of the circumstances that were confronting your client and his children. Can you point out to us specifically from the factual background in this case how the trial court abused its discretion under the applicable standard for a termination case?
Well, if we're talking termination, I believe the evidence is the standard of proof in one of those is clear and convincing evidence.
All right. And so looking at the evidence that we have in this case, well, how can we get to the conclusion that in this case the trial judge did not have clear and convincing evidence? It seemed that your client was struggling with mental health issues. There was some substance abuse issues. The plan of transferring the case back to Michigan for a review was not something the trial judge was impressed with. And another thing that the trial court considered was the fact that the kids had adjusted pretty well in foster care. How is that, in your view, an abuse of discretion by the trial judge and not finding clear and convincing evidence?
Judge Alston, as you mentioned, these are very difficult cases. I was dealing with a father who was very upset about the circumstances that brought his children into care and ultimately led to their being his parental rights being terminated. I believe there's ample evidence to support the other argument, making my argument, I'm fairly limited in evidence that supports what you just brought up, that the trial court abused its discretion. He was not still in jail. He was not homeless anymore. He was getting help for his substance abuse and mental health issues. And so he had taken steps to remedy these. And so the real ultimate issue is whether he had substantially remedy them, I believe.
This court painstakingly looks at these kinds of cases because of the circumstances that are always presented in a termination case. But I always, when I'm looking at them, and I think Judge Attlee and Judge Huff will agree with me, focus on when you're looking at this whole thing, what is in the best interest of the child or children? And in this case, I think the trial judge tried to focus on that same thing. How would you suggest that the father's plan is actually in the best interest of the child, recognizing the fact that these are his biological children and he is obviously entitled to the benefit of the doubt?
And it is under that circumstance, I believe, that the Virginia Code provides that it is a presumption that it's in the child's best interest to be raised by their, that may be case law, I believe it's Judge Alston. And so it's based on that premise that Mr. Essenmacher, that it's in their presumption, and he rests his argument on that presumption. because
I think you're making a good point that with the presumption being that the child or children should stay with the biological parent, the our cases have imposed the clear and convincing evidence standard, which is another way of saying that the presumption lies in favor of the father. And I think it would be an entirely different case if we were talking about the judge not adhering to that standard. But what I'm trying to do, and I appreciate your argument, is help you help me get to the point of saying that this is not in the best interest of the children and that there was no clear and convincing evidence supporting the trial court's determination.
I don't think it's a question of there was no evidence. Mr. Essenmacher was incarcerated, Judge Austin, and was in a difficult position to provide for these children and ultimately had to leave the state. And it wasn't until he got back to Michigan and around his family that he was able to provide for them. And by then, I think a year had passed.
Yes, sir.
And so it was a time problem with Mr. Essenmacher, and also a distance problem. And that makes the best interest of the children a difficult argument to make.
It seems that the trial judge was struggling with the very argument that you're making. On the appendix at page 308, the trial judge says, well, after a year, these children were placed in foster care, so to me, and I'm reading what the trial judge said, to me, that shows that but you did not substantially remedy any of these conditions because you were incarcerated the entire time. You got a job. There has to be an end or a sense of finality for them so that they know where they're going to be. If we were at the 12-month, it looked like you had gotten everything done. The law says that I can consider substantial progress and even give you a little bit more time. But then after saying all that, the trial judge still reached the conclusion that it reached and making the very, very severe and determination that termination was appropriate.
And for those reasons, the trial judge stated it was difficult for me to come up. I had very little evidence to contradict what that trial judge, what you just quoted him saying. My client, Mr. Essenmacher, I believe was incarcerated for most of the year following the children's... See, this, Judge Olstead, this feel very awkward because I feel like I'm making the argument for the other side.
And I appreciate what you're saying, counsel. I used to do a lot of criminal work, and, you know, you can only argue the case that you have, and I'm not criticizing you at all. I'm just trying to help you help me get to where you want me to be, and I appreciate your efforts, sir.
And Judge Olson, I appreciate you understanding my position here. Mr. Essenmacher moved back to Michigan, and that just complicated matters and made him his ability to come up with evidence to support his position that much more difficult.
Yes, sir.
And that would be the. That is the conclusion of my argument, Judge. I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your efforts, sir.
Ms. Hartman, we'll hear from you.
Yes, sir. Some of the questions that were being asked, I think the standard of review after a hearing or a tennis, as we had in this case, under Martin versus Pennsylvania County, which is 3 Virginia Appeals 15, the trial court's findings are entitled to great weight and should not be disturbed on appeal unless plainly wrong or without evidence to support them. I think in this case, Judge Burnett at the trial court went through the facts pretty diligently in looking at the paramount consideration for the trial court, which was the best interest of the child, as you have pointed out, and made the determination that it was not in the best interest of the children to continue waiting under the circumstances. Mr. Essenmacher, although he had a home for himself, it was a one-bedroom apartment in which he was staying with a friend of his. It was his friend's apartment, and he was sleeping on the couch in that apartment. He had hopes of maybe finding a three-bedroom house in which a friend of his, Ms. Maddow, and his mother might come in and assist with child care and that sort of thing while he was working.
You would agree with me that a termination case, a termination remedy, is a very harsh remedy, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And in this particular case, I'm sorry.
Agree, though. Let me ask you this question. Would you also agree that for a person who has limitations, both financially and otherwise, that his ability to adhere to the requirements that the Department of Social Services sets may be a difficult thing, and we may need to, in some circumstances, give a person more time because of the circumstances that they're confronted with. Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that. Under the code, statute requires that the conditions which led to or required continuation of the child's foster care placement should be substantially remedied within a period of time that's reasonable and not to exceed 12 months. And I think in part of Judge Burnett's statement in his determination, he indicated had they been at the 12-month mark, it would be one thing. But when we were at the trial court hearing in December of 2016, the children had already been in care for 18 months. And the children came into care. The oldest child, going by her initial A, was 18 months old herself. So at the time of the trial court hearing, she had been in foster care for half of her life. The younger child was only 6 months old and had been in foster care more than half of her life. So this was, and Judge Burnett did mention that this was the only stable home that these children had ever known. And to uproot them from that.
Let me ask you another question, and I understand what you're saying. Back a long time ago, I was a juvenile court judge, and there was always a circumstance where you would see a child who was placed in foster care because of circumstances, and that child was thriving. You know, you would see that many, many times. And the temptation was that because that child was thriving, that you would simply say, okay, I'm not going to take the child out of the situation where he or she is thriving and return them to a parent who might have more difficult circumstances. Where is the balance that needs to be struck in those kinds of situations?
I think the balance has to do with what we see in the cases. In this particular case, and these cases, as you know, Judge, if you've done these, are very fact-specific. The parents, and particularly the father in this case, had not had a stable home when the family was living together here in Virginia. He was living in a home that was ultimately condemned by the city inspectors that had exposed wires, open air ducts in the floor, and was infested with bugs. The children had bug bites all over them. And as Judge Burnett pointed out, you talked about the socioeconomics of this, social services would have provided many of the services to him. He would not have, had he had remained in Virginia, he would not have had to foot the bill, if you will, for any of those services that would have been provided to him. He would have also been provided ongoing visitation as well as services to address his mental health issues that were significant. And he would have had services that would have assisted him in finding housing and things of that nature. But as Judge Burnett pointed out, he made choices that caused the children to remain in foster care and caused him to not be able to provide for them as he should have, in that he, instead of making sure that he was available to to take services on, he violated probation on several different occasions. He also continued to do things that kept him in jail for that period of time. When he actually was released from jail in June of 2016, rather than staying in Virginia and trying to work with social services who would have provided those services to him and paid for those services, he elected and he testified that he left Virginia within 2 days of being released from jail, and he went to Michigan. So he put that distance between himself and his children and set up a situation where, he wasn't in a position where we could provide those services to him. And in fact, when he was offered those services here, he would only, he refused most of those services and only agreed to do the psychological and once a month outpatient counseling. So he, in this particular case, I think what Judge Burnett was looking at was he made choices that put himself in a position to not be able to accept the service or have the services in place for him and to provide for his children like he should.
Anything further, Ms. Hartman?
Your Honor, I would just say that for these reasons and the fact that there were efforts provided to provide services to Mr. Essenmacher by the social workers, the workers are not forced to make him take those services when he is unwilling to do so, and so therefore they did what they could do, but when he refused, that's all they could do. I think the court looked very seriously at the paramount consideration, which is the best interest of the children, and very definitely determined that it was not in the children's best interest to be uprooted from where they were, moved to Michigan to a different home when they were in a perfectly stable home, and to have more time when Mr. Essenmacher had not taken advantage of the time that he did have during the 18 months that these children had already been in foster care. And therefore, Judge, do not feel that there was any abuse of discretion in this case, and there was certainly no error committed by the trial court. There was ample evidence on the record to support the trial court's decision, as in both approving the foster care plan with the goal of return home and termination of parental rights of Mr. Essenmacher.
Very well. Thank you, Ms. Hartman. Mr. Graham, you have 8 minutes left if there's anything that you wish to add by way of rebuttal.
No, I was hoping Ms. Hartman might give me the site for the standard of review, and I want to apologize to Judge Alston. I didn't know if Judge Alston was asking me for the standard of review as the Court of Appeals looks at the case. I was thinking of the clear and convincing standard under which the parental rights are terminated. I wasn't trying to avoid Judge Alston's question.
You were fine, Mr. Graham. I understood what you were saying, so my question might have been a little vague.
Well, my and just as a comment, I sometimes have difficulty finding, and I get confused in my own head. We've got the standard of proof, and then we've got the standard of review, and sometimes trying to find the standard of review that the Court of Appeals is following is difficult to find, and I want to thank Ms. Hartman for I wrote that down because that's one of the things that evades me is trying to find the standard of review and keeping it separate from the standard of proof. Does that make sense?
I think when the opinion comes out, you'll be able to have a clear sight to what the standard of review is.
It would be great because I've got another one coming down, Judge Alston. I appreciate your help.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. That concludes the argument then. The case is submitted, and the court will now go into conference. So thank you very much.
Have a good holiday, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy holidays.